At Simeon and Anna, and I will be referring to the Bible passage you've got there in front of you. So, Simeon and Anna. What do we know about Simeon and Anna? The first thing we know is that Simeon, we can just switch that off, thanks. If that would be all right. Good, thank you. First thing we know is that Simeon and Anna were looking for God's salvation. What do we know about them? Well, they were both very old. How old? If you look down there in verse 37, we read there that, I'm going to use this Bible here, we read there in verse 37 that this woman was a widow of about 84 years. In actual fact, there's a bit of ambiguity there. We're not sure whether that's saying she was 84 years old or she had been a widow for 84 years. It's actually some translations translate it that way. I mean, if she'd been a widow for 84 years, and we know that she lived with her husband for 7 years, and she couldn't have been much younger than about 14 when she got married, and if that was so, she would now be, get your brains into gear, 105, okay? It is possible that she was as old as 105. We don't know. She was either old at 84 or she was very old at 105. And then there's Simeon. We're not told how old he was or even if he was old, but everything here points to him being old. If you look at verse 26, it says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he's about to see the Lord's Christ. So it sounds like he's lived a fair age and now he's about to see the Lord's Christ. And in verse 29, he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. So it sounds like he was pretty old. There is actually a Jewish tradition that says he was 113, but we can't prove that. But we've got these two people. Certainly they're old, maybe they're very, very old. They were both probably very old. Another thing we know about them is that they were both dedicated to a life of service to God. Simeon, we're told there in verse 25, he was... Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout. He was just, that means that he was righteous in his relationships with others. He treated other people fairly. And devout means that he was dedicated in his service to God. So you've got this man, Simeon. He is conscientious in serving God, the interests of others, and above all in serving the interests of the glory of God. Anna, we're told about her in verse 37 that she did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Doesn't actually mean she lived in the temple, it just means that she was so often in the temple and she was so much taken up with serving God in the temple that people would say, what, do you live here or something? So she was pretty much in the temple a lot of the time. But the thing that I really want to draw to your attention is this, that they were both looking for God's salvation in Christ. Now this passage here, the one that we're looking at, which is from verse 25 to verse 38, it has two, what we call bookmarks. And that's always something useful to look for in a passage. In other words, does the passage begin and end the same way? Because if it does, then mostly it's saying this is really important, this is what the passage is about. And in this case, we've got these two bookmarks. In verse 25, it says, Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. Some of your translations will have waiting for there, but it's the same word as looking for, as you get down in verse 38. Coming in that instant, Anna gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So this passage begins and ends with these two people who are looking for the consolation of Israel, who are looking for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, both those expressions in the Bible refer to those who were looking for the coming of the Messiah. And the reason people are looking for the coming of the Messiah is that they're going through a really bad time. Over the years, the Jews had groaned in times of bondage, they had wept in times of exile, they were now oppressed by the tyranny of Rome, they were being badly treated by their own king Herod, and they were being crushed under the religion of the scribes and Pharisees. And so they're looking for deliverance. They're looking for God to deliver them. Now some, probably most in Israel who were looking for deliverance, were just looking for an earthly king. They were just looking for a political leader who would rid them of Romans and who would rule in justice. But there were others who were looking for more than this, because they realised that their woes, such as I just mentioned, were just symptoms. They were symptoms of something that was fundamentally wrong with human nature. There was something fundamentally wrong with the human race. And they were looking for God to do or give them something more than just a political solution. They were looking for something or someone who would fix human nature itself. They were looking for someone who would get them right with the God who made us. They were looking for that kind of Messiah. This was the consolation of Israel. This was the redemption of Jerusalem that they were looking for. Simeon was looking for the Messiah. He was looking for the Christ. He'd had this extraordinary revelation that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so you can just think of Simeon, you know, every morning comes into the temple. Every morning the priest looks at him and says, "What are you doing here, Simeon? What are you looking for?" And Simeon would say, "I just came in today because I thought maybe the Messiah would be here." The priest would say, "No, he's not here." And every day, day after day, the Messiah was nowhere to be seen. But every day, day after day, after day, after day, he would come into the temple looking for the Messiah. And Anna too, they were both looking for God's salvation in the Messiah to come. Now, what are you looking for? Are you looking for God to deliver you through Christ? Because, you know, if you want God to deliver you through Christ, you have to be looking. These were two old people who were looking. The second thing we know about Simeon and Anna is this. Simeon and Anna found God's salvation. They found God's salvation in unexpected weakness. Simeon and Anna were part of a small remnant in Israel who were genuinely looking for God to deliver. So what did they expect to find? I know what most of those in Israel who were looking for deliverance were expecting, or at least hoped for. It's the same as what most people in this country pin their hopes on. They hope for a political leader who would give them just what they want. Most people today, just as most people back then, are looking for a political solution. They're pinning their hopes on a political solution. And most people back then, just like most people today, expect such a political solution will come about through the emergence of a popular, dynamic, charismatic leader. He has to be popular. If he isn't popular, he won't get the votes he needs to change things. He won't get people to support him. He has to be dynamic, or he won't have the energy to carry through on his program. And he has to be charismatic, or he won't be able to go on convincing people to follow him. And that's the kind of person you need to make Australia great again. Simeon found a baby. There in verse 27, it says, "He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought him the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms." What Simeon found was the child Jesus. In fact, literally, it's the little child Jesus. In fact, he was very, very little. He wasn't even 6 weeks old. You'll notice that Joseph and Mary appeared with the baby in the temple. It says, in verse 22, according to the law of Moses. According to the law of Moses, the child would have to be brought into the temple 40 days after his birth. So this child is not even 6 weeks old. So what did Simeon expect to find? What did Anna expect to find? What were they looking for? What they found was a baby, a helpless baby. And this is what God promised would deliver Israel some 750 years before in the days of Isaiah. Back then, the Jews were looking for deliverance from their enemies. They were surrounded by enemies on all sides. And if you go back to the prophet Isaiah, you'll see the Jews then were looking for deliverance from Assyria, which was the most powerful empire at the time. It was way up to the north. They were waiting for Assyria to come down and deliver them. But God promised a far greater deliverance to come. Back then, 750 years before, God had said, "This will be your deliverance. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." That will be your deliverance, says God. Your deliverance will be through a child. And don't you love it? I really love this picture. All over, there are those who are looking for the consolation of Israel. They're looking for the redemption in Jerusalem. Who is it in the end that finds the consolation in Israel? Who is it in the end that finds redemption in Jerusalem? Simeon and Anna. Simeon, an old man, possibly as old as 113, we don't know for sure, but certainly old and approaching decrepit. Anna, at least 84, maybe 105. So here are these two stooped, aged human beings that the crowd who notice only the popular, dynamic and charismatic don't even see. These two stooped, aged human beings looking for the Messiah. And what do they find? They find a baby. And don't you love it? No marching bands, no big stadium full of families and athletic young people, no fanfare, no dynamic entrepreneur prancing out onto the stage. Just two old people and a baby. That's the hope of Israel. Now, what's your hope? What are you looking for? Simeon, Anna, Saul. A baby. But in that baby, they saw all they hoped for. In that baby, they saw God's salvation. I don't know what you're looking for. I mean, but I do know this, that if your hope is any other apart from Christ, you will miss out on God's salvation. Because God's salvation is not found in what this world hopes for. The Bible says that God takes delight deliberately choosing the foolish things of the world to put to shame the things that are wise. He takes delight in choosing the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And in particular, God chose to save the world through this baby who was the Christ. This Christ, it says, who is to become Christ crucified, to some a stumbling block and to others foolishness. But to those who are saved, it is the power of God. He is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Two old people found a baby. That was all their hope of salvation. And that's all our hope of salvation. But more than this, we see how Simeon and Anna then shared God's salvation with others. Once you find God's salvation, you want to share it with others. You'll notice that as soon as Anna discovers God's Saviour, down there in verse 38, it says, she spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here's Simeon and Anna, and along with those that we've met before, like Zacharias and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary, they were part of this small, faithful remnant in Israel that were eagerly looking out for the real Messiah. Now, 400 years before, you go back to the last of the Jewish prophets, which was Malachi. And Malachi had foretold that there would always be a faithful remnant. Not many, perhaps, but there would always be some. And these, Malachi had foretold, would meet together and they would encourage each other. Malachi said, those who fear the Lord will speak to one another. They will encourage one another in this hope. And furthermore, Malachi had added, the Lord will listen and he will hear them, and a book of remembrance will be written for before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. There were always a faithful few like this who together were looking for God's Saviour to come. And Simeon would have been part of that group, and Anna was certainly part of that group. Coming into the temple, she sees a prominent member of this faithful group, an old man, Simeon, holding a baby. And immediately she knows and she gives thanks to the Lord. Simeon and Anna joining their voices in giving thanks to the Lord. Perhaps as we heard this morning, singing and praising God together. That's a choir I would have liked to hear. Two elderly, decrepit beings singing praises to God. But Anna did much more than sing. In verse 38, it says that she spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Israel. So there's this group of faithful people who are genuinely looking for the Messiah, and now she goes and tells them. She shares this good news among the other faithful members of the remnant who were looking for the redemption of Israel. The excitement began to spread as more and more people heard the good news in Israel. Simeon foresaw something even more wonderful, something unheard of. If you go there to verses 30-31, it says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. So this baby is going to be the salvation of those from among all peoples, not just the old and infirm like Simeon and Anna, and not just the young and healthy, and not just those who belong to this faithful remnant in Israel, but those from all peoples. And not just Jews either. It says in verse 32, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Okay, you've got to understand that sort of back then, most of those in Israel who were looking for the Messiah were looking for someone who would come and make Israel great again. They weren't interested in those from outside of Israel. Just as today, the popular idea of a good leader is one who will make his own country great again. You know, whether it's America or Australia or the UK or Tuvalu, it's always someone who's going to make your own country great again. But especially in Israel, because after all, they were God's people. It was unthinkable for most of those in Israel that a Messiah would be interested in those outside of Israel, those that they referred to as Gentiles. How could Israel be great if the Messiah came to save Gentiles as well as Jews? But Simeon foresaw that this Messiah would save those from all peoples. He foresaw the day when this good news would be shared not just with the patient, faithful remnant in Israel, but with those outside of Israel, Gentiles like you and me. If you are a Gentile, I'm pretty sure you all are, anyone who's not a Jew is a Gentile, this is your chance. This is your chance for you to know God's salvation. Jesus is the Saviour of Gentiles as well as Jews. Jesus could be your saviour too, if you but have the faith of these two old, decrepit human beings to see in Jesus the saviour of sinners like you and me. And once you find in Christ that saviour, you are ready to die in peace. Simeon and Anna could die in peace with God's salvation. Verse 29, Simeon says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. And that word depart is packed with meaning. Another translation would be, Lord, now you are letting your servant loose in peace. The idea is of setting someone loose. And there's lots of pictures about that in the Bible. Sometimes this word that's used here is used of releasing a prisoner from prison. And sometimes it's used of untying a ship that's about to set sail. Sometimes it's used of those who go camping when you take down your tent. And sometimes it's used of unyoking a beast of burden. So here's Simeon, he's now set free. Having found Christ, he's no longer a prisoner to the troubles in his life. And he is now released to set sail into God's sunset. And he's now ready to take down his earthly tent and go and dwell with God in God's tabernacle. And he is now ready to be freed of the burden of sin and guilt. In a word, he's now ready to die. Lord, now you are letting your servant loose, depart in peace. When you know God's salvation in Christ, you know peace. And then, and only then, are you ready to die. You're not afraid of death because you know it frees you from the burdens of this life and leads you into the blessings of a life to come. He was an old man and he's ready to die. He hasn't seen one miracle performed by Jesus. He hasn't heard one word from Jesus' lips. And for that matter, there's nothing particularly remarkable about this child or about his parents. And yet Simeon felt ready to die because he had seen the Messiah. As he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. Yes, just a baby. But even as a baby, Jesus represented the hope of the world. Now ask yourself, if I had been there that day, what would I have seen? Just a baby? The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Simeon didn't just see a baby because he looked in faith. And because he looked in faith, he saw the hope of the world. He saw salvation. And when you look to Jesus in faith, you too will see salvation, your salvation. But you must look, and you must look in faith. You must believe. Are you looking for God's salvation? The Bible says this is faith. The one who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are you looking for God's reward of salvation? You must believe that God is. And you must believe that God will reward those who diligently seek him. You must seek him. Simeon and Anna, two old, decrepit souls who were looking for God's salvation. God rewarding their looking. They were seeking God. And God promises in his word, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen.